Hey everybody, Lauren here, and welcome to episode 72 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I interview Krista Bigler, an integrative dietitian nutritionist. Krista specializes in gut health, so we talk about inflammation, what leaky gut is, and how maybe probiotics aren't the answer. All right, let's get to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey, Krista, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you today.
Thanks, Katie. I'm excited to be a guest and not be a host.
So Krista is the host of her own podcast, the Less Stressed Life podcast, but also she's an integrative dietitian. So tell us more about kind of your journey to become a dietitian and your own health journey.
Okay, so I think that people's journeys in general are really interesting, so I hope that this entertains someone, right? So I knew pretty early on that I wanted to be a dietitian, and I never really wavered from that too much. When I was in high school, I don't know if you've ever heard of FHA or FCCLA or whatever. So it's like, I don't know, it's this club and you do illustrated presentations, and I had done some about food. And so I kind of knew at that point I was pretty interested. And one of my first jobs was in a restaurant where basically the owners, the temporary owners that had taken over kind of a failing restaurant, was a young dietitian and her husband that was a food scientist. And she taught me some things about food safety. So everything around the food spectrum, I was really intrigued about. So I knew going into it that I was going to go into that. And I was also very interested in journalism. So I actually went to school for both. And I always intended to write about nutrition. Well, I never really changed that mission until I got to my internship and after I was in school for a long time. And I kind of realized that everyone's got their own agenda. And I wrote for a big association, and they didn't, you know, I got my first experience of what it can be like working in corporate world, right? Where someone says, yeah, you can't say that. You can't say that even though it's true, because this is who funds us. And so I really took a retreat from that for a long time, honestly. And then, you know, after went to college, I got married and settled down. And I kind of took a little bit of a break and just kind of did some conventional work. But because you asked me about being an integrative dietitian, I'll tell you that in my final year of school, it was really when probiotics had kind of started to take hold. And I actually sat by a researcher from Harvard one time on a plane home. And we were talking about the history of bacteria and probiotics and kind of when they hit the scene. I want to say it was around 2005 to 2007, they started to get really popular and escalate in popularity. And that was probably the time I was interested. So at the very end of school, I had done my senior seminar on probiotics. And I mean, probiotics are in no way, you know, they're not like this whole picture of the microbiome, but it's what people are familiar with if you talk about gut health, right? That's what people think of. They're like, oh, I'm healthy because I take probiotics. And so I just share that because at that time I knew I was really interested in gut health, but it took a while because life gets in the way sometimes to come back around to that 180. So in the last about year and a half, I've really taken that great 180 to come right back to exactly what I wanted to do, which is work with gut health issues and write about nutrition and teach about nutrition.
I love that. And so when we talk about gut health, because that's definitely a big theme of today's episode, there's a lot of terms thrown around, right? Probiotics, gut health. So what would you explain gut health is for just the average listener? You know, what is gut health in a nutshell?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about your gut, it runs from your mouth to the other end, right? So it's like the core of your entire body. So is that important? Well, sure, right? And so basically, when I think about nutrition, I think about supporting the inside, right? All the things that are the inside. And when you support things, you know, it's like when you water a tree, it produces fruit a little bit better versus just treating the limb or the branch or trimming it or whatever. So really, it's how do we nourish the roots? And so this is kind of like goes through the whole thing. A lot of people, you're right. When people think about gut health, they think about probiotics, which is honestly, I've departed so much. I actually kind of love probiotics again. I had a recent podcast kind of talking about a new type of probiotic that's really unique. But for a long time, I'd kind of lost interest there because there's so much more to gut health than just that. So people think that it's just that. They think it's just diarrhea, constipation. But honestly, if you have fatigue, if you've got brain fog, if you've got bloating, if you've got joint pain, if you've got muscle pain, if you've got headaches, you should be checking your joint health. If you're having trouble sleeping, you should be checking your gut health. And people don't think about it like that. You know, honestly, I have to tell this quick story because we already said that the title of my podcast is called The Less Stressed Life. And so that sounds kind of attractive, right? Because we know what I want to stress. And that was a complete accident, just so we can be totally clear. I don't think that I was some kind of stress expert and this was some kind of like meditation hour, because it certainly wasn't. But my point is that I used to talk about inflammation as a topic on Facebook Lives. And the only people that tuned in or that listened were the people that already understood inflammation. So that was a problem, because you got to help more people than just the people that already understand it, right? And so the only synonym I could come up with was stress for inflammation, right? And so that's where it was born. It was like, let's uninflame our lives, right? So I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but that's kind of what I mean, is that there's a lot to it. I was actually, someone interviewed me the other day, and yesterday I was talking to a nurse practitioner, and I said, you know, we can say I deal with eczema or IBS or all these things, but in reality, it's all gut health.
I love that, and that you talk about all those different symptoms, because that's pretty much everybody. I think we've all had headaches. We've all had aches, pains, bloating, you know, fill in the blank, XYZ, all these symptoms that you mentioned. So what type of clients do you work with? You know, not just who they are, but what are these patients or clients' biggest struggles that you help them with?
Sure. And this is relevant, right? Because most of us only respond to the thing that piques our interest. So the thing that we are suffering with, right? So if I talked about it from a gut health standpoint, then again, I would only get people that already understood that it's from gut health, right? And so I didn't tell you about my own story, but my own story is that of eczema. So by a turn of events and just serendipity, I ended up working with a lot of children and adults with eczema or skin issues and with digestive issues. And I've just kind of hung my hat on both of those posts, but a lot of times with autoimmune issues that falls under the same umbrella, fibromyalgia, migraines, etc. But I always kind of hang my hat on digestive issues like constipation, diarrhea, maybe IBS or inflammatory diseases. So are you pooping properly or not, right? And then skin issues, because a lot of times, especially with constipation, you see skin issues pop up. And you know, why is that? Because our body detoxifies several ways, right? Through urine, bowel movements, skin, breath. And so if you're having things pop up on your skin, that's a good way of your body saying, I can't get rid of this garbage, so I'm going to take it out on the skin. So just so you know, because skin problems are so common, it's 1 in 5 kids. It's quite a mess in adults, but it's a sign. You know, anything your body is showing you on the outside is a sign that there's something going on the inside. So pay attention.
Right. That's so true. And I think so often people just get comfortable with those symptoms, or, you know, they have them for so long. I see this a lot in my overweight and obese population that I work with, is that so many people live in pain, or just, like you say, inflammation or just stress on the body, that I feel like people don't know how good their bodies were meant to feel.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, and you'll be surprised at the things that subside when people, I always tell people, like, I have expectations about how much better you should get when we work on these things in a strategic format. Like, you should have at least 50 to 75% reduction symptoms, especially after the first month. But, you know, other things that you didn't think were a problem, because we start to really just acclimate or adapt or think that we're getting old or this is just part of life. And people just kind of make up excuses for things until they hit a rock bottom. And we all do it because we're humans. So we all let ourselves get to the point of disrepair sometimes. It's unfortunate. I was also that person. We all do it. And so my point is that people, it's really amazing when you start dealing with inflammation or water in the roof, because then things that you didn't know were problems, like your scalp scaly, being scaly, or lack of energy, rosy cheeks, or some kind of weird twitch, those things resolve too. You know, so you're not just going after one thing. And I always say to people, and I mean, Katie, I should be referring, you know, weight loss clients to you, because that's not my first line of defense. It's kind of like, let me patch the holes and do this other thing. But I think you'll agree with me that on the outside, we want weight loss. Everyone wants weight loss, right? But on the inside, weight is just a symptom of something else happening. And that might be an emotional, mental, physical, I don't know what it is, but it's just a symptom.
Absolutely. Or almost the word malnutrition. I think we always think of malnutrition as someone who is emaciated, or, you know, we think of a starving child in a third world country, but malnutrition can also be, you know, someone who is obese or overweight or having these other symptoms on the outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love when clients tell me a few key phrases, like, I used to be able to lose weight and now I'm stuck. That's a key phrase of like, oh, you should probably evaluate your gut health. Or I used to be able to eat that and now it's like it's causing trouble. Magical words. And, you know, things like that. I always, there's just things that people say. I'm like, yes, you are perfect for this. Like, you need this so much.
You know, if someone is listening to this now and they're thinking, oh, yeah, my acne has gotten worse in the last year, what's the first step of evaluating their gut health?
Sure. So I feel like this question could go in so many directions. And so I will just stop and say, you know, as dietitians, sometimes it's just best to stop and look at what we're putting in our mouth, right? So if, you know, what is acne? It's red, it's inflamed. So, you know, it's inflammation, right? So, you know, you could look into what are things that are anti-inflammatory, right? Just as a first line thought. And then, you know, get knowledge because knowledge is power, right? And then kind of make an inventory of what you are eating, kind of track some patterns. So if someone is kind of suspecting that they've got some inflammation going on, the first thing that they can attempt to do is play around with their diet. It's really an experiment, and life is an experiment, really, right? Like everything is most people are affected by this at some level. So you can kind of play around with it. I tell people to common denominators, right? So if you kind of make a list, if you would track what you eat for like 3 days, you'll probably see some common denominators. And I'm not saying that I'm just generally an advocate of it, but a lot of people will say, oh, they removed dairy and grains and they felt a lot better. Well, why would that happen? Because if you're eating the same foods, and actually we can get into an immunological discussion about how this happens with a nice analogy if you want, but when people eat the same foods over and over and over, sometimes you can start to develop inflammatory reactions or sensitivities to them if you've got gut issues. So would you like to hear why that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. I hear of people all the time who, you know, or you think of people as they age, they often develop a lactose intolerance. Or like you said, different foods that they no longer, that seem to give them problems that never have before.
Sure. Yeah. So think about it like this. Your gut should be kind of like a pair of nylons, right? And so it should be semi-permeable, meaning if you had like food and liquids that were going through there, the liquids would maybe cross that membrane. And so that would be nutrients because your digestive system, one of its primary responsibilities is breaking down, digesting, getting that food down to usable parts, right? Breaking it down. So if your tight junctions and your gut looks good, like nylons, then you've got just those small particles going through the membranes, right? So they go off to where they're supposed to be. Those nutrients go off to where they're supposed to be. If your gut is lacking, if it's lacking integrity, right? If it's subpar, kind of worn out a little bit, you had some stress. I mean, there's lots of things that cause this, right? There's a lot of things that cause intestinal permeability. You maybe have heard of, you know, leaky gut is this trendy term. We like to say intestinal permeability. I always tell people that I think might doubt this. There is no question that that is a real thing. There's 3,000 articles on PubMed, which is a research database, talking about intestinal permeability. So just because your doctor doesn't talk to you about it or your GI doctor doesn't talk to you about it, it's okay. It's real. It's research-based. Okay. So if you've got permeability, what's that mean? Your gut no longer looks like nylons. It looks like fishnet tights, right? So you've got these tight gap junctions that are pulled apart. There's things that break up those, like the door being closed, basically. So they get opened up. So now your gut is more like fishnet tights. Okay. So fishnet tights let a lot bigger particles through, right? So we've got bigger particles going through, you've got larger proteins going through, and then they get from the gut and then they go into the bloodstream and they're just too big. They don't belong there. So they get recognized as an invader because they're not really supposed to be there, right? So they're in the wrong spot, right? You're supposed to get little nutrients going across, but you got big proteins going across. So I love my analogy. So it's kind of like doors are supposed to be shut. You're supposed to be able to get things going through them. So my door is shut right now and you can see air would go underneath the door. But if it's hanging wide open, my kids would be barging through here, causing mass chaos or the neighbor's dog or whatever, right? So if the tight gap junction or the door is wide open, things get to where they're not supposed to be, then it's chaos, right? So then in the bloodstream, you've got these little guards, army guards, you know, the protectors, the immune system cells, okay? So they react when things don't belong and they start causing inflammation. They shoot at these things, right? They shoot at these foods. And so there's different types, because I think this is an important point too, that, and I I definitely have some disclaimers about this, but basically this is a sensitivity because you've got 100 different types of reactions that can be going on in there, different mediators that can be going on. And it's basically like a guard shooting at these foods because they don't belong. And it starts to cause this low grade inflammation. Sorry, I yapped a long time there, but that's kind of how it works a little bit. So, So if you're eating dairy or grains every day, which most people are eating those same things every day, it's a common denominator. So if they're ending up in that bloodstream, because a lot of people have this problem, at least to some degree, removing it, at least in the short term, can feel pretty good because it was probably becoming inflammatory. You know, if you eat it every single day, it's crossing that barrier and your body has recognized it as an invader and is trying to get rid of it. So it's causing this fatigue and this exhaustion, this stuffy nose, and these symptoms that you're kind of ignoring.
Wow. So it's really not about the dairy or about the grains. It's about the leaky gut. It's about the permeability.
It could be about both, right? So this is just one theory on why it could be that. So, well, for example, to even break into this a little bit more, because we could talk about that for a while, like what is it, the chicken or the egg, right? Mm-hmm. And so with dairy specifically, I end up taking dairy out initially regardless, because unless the cow's in your backyard and you know what it ate, you are eating everything that the cow ate protein-wise, because like with breast milk, everything you eat, the baby gets, right? And so just like with a cow, if cow is eating this food and you're reactive to it, you know, if you can't control that variable. Anyway, that's for kind of like farther down the road, but these are kind of like philosophical discussions, like what's the actual problem? And that's the nice thing when you work through things strategically, you can kind of figure out, is it the problem or not? And so, we always reintroduce dairy. And so I recommend you start with grass-fed dairy because then you have, then you can control that variable, right? So then you kind of know that the cows are eating grass versus maybe one of these other grains that might be a problem. So anyway, that's a long story. I don't want people to get, you know, randomly go off on a rabbit hole, but there's many ways to kind of slice and dice that answer, I guess.
Are there certain ages or, you know, people that are more susceptible to leaky gut, or how common, you know, is this problem?
So it's estimated to affect 80% of the population. I don't know how comfortable I feel with like throwing that number out there. I'm just giving you that's what I've seen in some papers. And I was actually looking for some validation for it the other day and I was unable to find it, but it's kind of all over the place type thing. And that's a number that's thrown out a lot all over. So how common, you know, it affects everyone because there's a lot of things that cause it, right? So overuse of antibiotics, stress, alcohol, you know, medications, lots of different things. So things that we're all susceptible to, right? So, and then also, you know, to add insult to injury, like with my genetics, I'm more susceptible to having gut issues than maybe somebody else, right? And so it just kind of depends. And even the healthiest people can end up with these problems, right? So, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face when you think you're really healthy. Like when I thought I was really healthy and kind of hit a rock bottom, we're like, I was eating fermented foods and I was eating probiotics. And it's kind of funny because sometimes those things are actually contraindicated, meaning that they don't really jive well with certain conditions. And that was my conditions. I was getting itchy right away and had eczema from these foods. But is it a certain age? No, because I work with infants all the way to older people. So, you know, I definitely love finding where in your history it kind of happens. And I love when people say, and when they have pinpointed that, because that means they're pretty in tune. They'll say, yeah, I mean, this really started to happen in college or after a really stressful year and a half of grad school, or, you know, or this switch flipped, you know, after I have H. pylori or whatever, you know, or when I'm working with kids, there's very when they're extreme cases of eczema, there's frequently kind of trauma at birth, not really trauma, but, you know, if you're having a baby and you're group B strep positive, which is pretty common, they'll put you on IV antibiotics and mm-hmm. that kind of, you know, screws up the whole microbiome because you get microbiome by going through that canal, that vaginal canal. So, you know, there's just so many things that are out of our control. Sometimes it's not our fault. The thing we can do is like pick ourselves up off the ground and work on it. Right. And to have the tools to know how to fix it is pretty empowering as well. So we can all pay more attention to this topic for sure, because it's not going away. And on a side note, you know, just thinking about antibiotics, even if we're not eating, even if we're not taking antibiotics, you know, we're still consuming them in food often. Right. So that's something I've been thinking about a little bit more, not to be crazy hippity dippity, but just, this is real life. Like I'm talking to ranchers about this, right? And they agree. So, it's definitely, you know, we just have to think a little bit more about where our food comes from. I mean, we can always, we can always improve everything, right? We don't have to be overwhelmed by this, but we can just take inventory and educate ourselves, right? Like over time.
Yeah. So yeah, if someone that's listening to this and is thinking like, okay, whoa, where do I start? What's a piece of advice that you find yourself giving a lot of your patients?
Well, I'm definitely, I have people, I think if you don't track it, you can't improve it, right? So I would say that this is probably the most generic recommendation I could give that could impact all those conditions, is that if you just take some inventory of what you're eating and track it along with your symptoms, the time of day and things, you might start to notice patterns, right? And like, for example, sometimes people have really bad PMS or menstrual cramps or headaches around their period, and that can play a whole, that's part of this whole thing, right? Hormones are in part produced in your gut. And so when your gut is a little bit out of balance, then sometimes your hormones end up out of balance. So sometimes excess, like people will inadvertently get pregnant, you know, or whatever, just because it happens, because you start to correct this and then the other things start to follow, right? The tree starts blooming appropriately when you water it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the most general advice, is just start taking an inventory, start paying attention, because we often, especially with ourselves, we can get to where we take care of other people so much, we don't pay attention to ourselves. So we have to take inventory, right? You got to have a baseline.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I recommend that to my clients all the time, is keeping a food journal. You know, it's not so much about calories in, calories out, but the food patterns, and, you know, you might eat something more frequently than you think you do, or, you know, so much more can happen. You can figure out so much more when you take pen to paper and really take a look at it.
And I don't love it either. I mean, it's not fun to do that, but, you know, it's okay to say, I'm going to do this for 3 days or for a week. Right. And if you find that it's useful at that time, and, you know, a lot of times, it's a pretty paralleled, you know, this is an assignment my clients have to do, at least in the early stages of working together, because it's a goldmine of data. It's how we find patterns over time. As we're working, you know, we use test results to tweak what we're doing, but this is how we figure out, okay, so we've had a headache. All right, let's find some common denominators, right? Even if you don't like it, just put a small goal on it, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to do this because X, you know, because you don't really like this symptom. And so sometimes it's just getting ourselves to get there, right?
Yeah. Krista, we talked about acne and eczema and these different like skin conditions, but what are some other signs and symptoms that someone can look at? You know, how do we even really know if we have inflammation? How does that present itself?
Yeah, so there's some early signs. If you have a parent, right, that's got blood pressure or whatever, like those will go up and down. So that's kind of fun. I rarely have people that are tracking that. But just for everyday people, if you're tired after meals, that's inflammation. If you're bloated, or if your weight fluctuates, if you can like go out of town for the weekend and gain 10 pounds, that's inflammation. If you have to clear your throat, or you feel some sinus congestion, and I promise people don't necessarily notice this, but go ahead and pay attention after you eat. Do you have any throat clearing or any sinusy at all? Like if you start talking after lunch, do you notice it's a little built up? Early sign of inflammation. Yeah. So those are some really early signs, fatigue, sinus stuff. And then also digestive stuff typically presents pretty, oh yeah, gas. That's a really good one too. So gas isn't, you know, we think that gas is normal, but honestly, it really shouldn't be normal. And so that's actually an early sign of inflammation as well. And so it's just something to pay attention to, because typically these things don't get better. They just get worse over time.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. One I definitely don't think about, but I've heard people say this, yeah, my nose starts running after lunch, or, you know, they talk about their nose running after certain things. And you would never think that that would have to do with food. We automatically think, oh, you ate something spicy. We would never look at that as a sign of inflammation.
Right. And I mean, sometimes it is spicy. I like when my nose runs when I'm eating Thai food. But I mean, this is different, right? This is where you get this congestion and mucus is kind of a defense mechanism for our body, right? If you think about it, mucus is produced when we're ill. Right. And so if it's produced after you're eating, what does that tell you? That's your immune system activating.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I think it just goes to show that we talked a little bit about doctors and things like that. And I'm learning this more just working in the healthcare industry, is that you really do have to be your own advocate and don't necessarily take, you know, someone's recommendation as a hard and fast rule. But, you know, being your own investigator as to why you might think that these things are happening and doing your own research.
Before private practice, I spent a lot of time in conventional care with very sick patients, with dialysis patients. So they have a limits, and because once they get to that level of care, they have a lot of interventions. So I often tell them, when I can tell that I've got someone proactive and smart, I said, if I could do one thing, it's that you have to be the biggest you're the most important person on your team. You're the most important person on your healthcare team, because everyone else is taking care of lots of people and you're taking care of yourself. So if you don't like the way someone, you got to say something, and you got to be persistent, because persistence gets you what you want, you know? And so I have the luxury in private practice that I get amazing clients, because they've already, they're already frustrated with not being listened to or heard, or their problems being solved. So they're still digging and still looking. And so that's nice, I guess, because they seek me out because they're looking for more, looking for a better outcome. They're not going to settle for, oh, I just have to be on this medicine forever. That's just a band-aid, right? I just had someone with Crohn's. She came to me because her Crohn's medication, her insurance changed, and it was going to be $1,300 a month. I think this is going to be a thing for people, right? Like, this is sort of like a bad wake-up call. Like, oh, whoops, now this is going to be kind of a really expensive thing, right? So she'd come to me because we can handle this with diet if we reduce them. And so she'd gone down, halved her medication, and so she talked to her nurse practitioner. She did this because she was running low, and she was concerned about the expense. And the nurse practitioner said, oh, that's great. If more people would deal with their diet, then we wouldn't have to be on so much medication. It would be a lot better. Like, thank you. So nice to hear. But unfortunately, a lot of people just don't realize that, right? And I mean, I know we're preaching to the choir here. People listening to this podcast probably know this. But, you know, it's messages that need to be heard. And hopefully if that message resonates with you and one in your family needs to hear it, then share this podcast and say, scroll over to minute X, you know, because it really is. It's incredible and powerful and flippin' awesome what you can do with food and reducing inflammation. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I guess it's what makes me annoyed with healthcare. We just waste money like all day because we don't want to deal with the root cause of things. You know, it's no one's fault. I'm not blaming anybody, but it's a collective effort we have to work on together. Right. Do your part in reducing healthcare costs. Take care of yourself a little bit and work on yourself. You know, we're all susceptible to these problems, but dig and find root causes. And you'll, like, the benefit's exponential. You won't get sicker and worse, because things just don't get better on their own, even though we think that they do.
Right. Absolutely. Taking that ownership of your own health and understanding it, just because it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be the way you're living right now.
Yeah. And like you mm-hmm. said, our listeners are definitely more of like the proactive type, but I'm always surprised to hear from people that are afraid to know the answers.
Well, I was just going to say, we all have those mental blocks, right? It's kind of stage of change. And so there's a lot of theories about how you can address things, but I, you know, in my tours of different types of medicine, I recall a triangle that, you know, you have to pay attention to these basics, right? Nutrition, emotional or mental, and structural. And so that emotional mental part is always a piece, right? And like how we're processing stress and all those things too. So that's a good self checkpoint as well. And, you know, honestly, as someone that works with gut issues, in side effect that I did not realize I was walking into was a lot of my clients have anxiety or mood disruptions or irritability. Why? Because you have a brain gut connection, and there's a lot to be said about that. But one thing is that your vagus nerve goes from your head all the way down through your body and innervates or goes through your gut. And so, you know, it's like this direct pathway of communication. It's like a telephone line basically to your brain. And so it's interesting the types of manifestations or reactions that happen with people when they're depressed or anxious or whatever, and how that'll heal or that'll go improve significantly when you deal with these dysbiosis and gut issues. And, you know, when you change your diet, it only takes about 24 to 36 hours for your microbiome or your bacteria to start changing. So, yep, it can definitely be done with food. Sometimes there's, you know, other inhibiting factors as well. But I just bring that up because it's interesting, right? Interesting.
Yeah, that is. Well, this has been amazing. We're going to wrap it up with one just kind of random question so that we can get to know you a little better personally. What's the best thing that's happened to you this week?
Yeah, I knew that there was something big when I saw that question. I thought, oh, what is it? But, you know, I think the way I'll answer this is that I honestly don't know what the five love languages are. I work with someone who says that her love language is gift giving or getting gifts. And I think my love language, I'm finding out, because sometimes like when you're working on your personal development self, you realize like, what is a motivator for you? And so something that I think was the best part of my week this week, my love language, if I had to make up a love language, is like recognition or positive feedback, right? I almost get too obsessed with client results because I think I'm looking for that love, my payment. That's how I get like, that's my natural high. And so actually someone this way, so I get that with clients a lot, and I work on that aspect, but you know, like professionally, you don't always get to interact with other professionals. So someone was talking about a podcast episode I did in a professionals, practitioners Facebook group this week. And I just happened to catch the comment that like someone said that girl is awesome. And I thought, wow, that was so nice. That just made my whole week. I didn't know that someone would say that nice thing. So I think I love that so much. So let that be a lesson if you this podcast episode to leave these girls a review, because you got to know if you're doing something good, right? Then you'll keep going. So I think that was the best part of my week.
Yeah, and probably just happening upon that randomly is even just kind of a better like, oh, wow.
I said, I don't know what you're talking about. But thanks.
You're like, who, me? Me? Yes. This podcast?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, oh, it's just nice to see that other people like it and appreciate it when you feel like disheveled that day, right? Or something.
For sure. It's like when people tell me that my hair looks so good and I haven't showered in quite a few days. I'm like, gee, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wow, that was awesome. I know.
So where can our listeners find you if they want to learn more about gut health, or, you know, they want to follow your story and your mission? Can you tell us what's the best way to contact you?
You bet. So to make it easy, the podcast, if they're wanting to learn more, because we talk about all things inflammation on the Less Stressed Life podcast. So lessstressedlife.com is the podcast. And if you want to get to my website, it's lessstressednutrition.com. We'll direct you there and you can kind of learn a little bit more about those things. There's some freebies there for eczema and some different, you can learn about the different stressors that are at play when people start to get these symptoms and what prevents people from getting better.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast again. It was so good to see you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Gail, so much.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.